Today's daf is Kaf Zayim. We're going to start at the last word on Kaf Vav Amud Bet, Itmar. Okay, this is an introduction to a machloket Emoraim, and it's a very basic machloket Emoraim. We're going to see a few very, very basic machlokot today, very famous sugyas. Eid Zomeim, Abai Amar Limafreya Hu Nifsal, Verava Amar Mikan Ulahaba Hu Nifsal. This is one of the six famous cases, Ya'al Kigam, or the Rashi Tevot, we're going to see them soon, of the cases where we hold like Abaye instead of Rava. Okay, normally we hold like Rava, in these cases we hold like Abaye. So, Eid Zomeim. Abaye Amar Limafrehu Nifsal. Okay, what happens? When you have an Eid Zomeim, somebody testifies, two people come and say, we were with you at the time that you testified, and therefore whatever you say can't possibly be true because we were with you somewhere else. Imanu ayitem, you say. Then those edim, the first group, are considered zomimim, and then their punishment is that whatever they tried to do to the person that they testified against falsely is the punishment that they get. At that point, what happens, since what we're talking about is psulei edim that are psulim, so when they are turned out, it turns out they're false witnesses, obviously they're no longer acceptable to testify in court. But from when do we cancel their testimony? Do we say that, let's say they testified in January, and in March, turns out the two edim came and said, Imanu ayitem, and they become edim zomimim in March. So they testified falsely in January, but they were only found out to be false witnesses in March. Sabai says, L'mafrayim hu nifsal. We go all the way back to January and say that they were pasul from then. Rava says, Mikanu l'haba hu nifsal. We only disqualify him starting in March from when they actually were convicted of being edim zomimim, okay, and not from when they actually testified. So now we're going to see the reason. Abai amar l'mafrayim hu nifsal, because me'idana de'asid rashahu. V'atorah amra, al tashet yadchaim rasha, al tashet rasha'ed. When was he a Rasha? From the moment he testified falsely. And that was in January. So obviously we're going to convict him. We're going to say, so what does this mean? This means that if anybody sold property or did something, any kind of thing, and he was an aide for anything that they did, his testimony is canceled out. If, let's say, he testified for somebody in February after he lied in January, then we're going to already say that what he testified for in February is canceled. Because from that point, he was already a Rasha. Rava Amar Mikanu Lahaba Hu Nifsal. Now we're going to give two different readings of what Rava's reasoning is. So here's the first one. Eid Zomeim Chidushu. Mai Chazit De Samachahane. Samachahane. And therefore, Ein Lachabo Ela Mishat Chidusho Ve'elach. Rava says that really, when it comes to Eid Zomeim, how does it work, Eid Zomeim? So if... Let's go back and discuss a different type of edim that lie. Let's say we have two edim that come and say some sort of testimony, and then two other edim come and contradict their testimony and say, no, it wasn't that person, let's say, who killed someone. It was somebody else who killed the person. That's what we call edei hakasha, and we don't know who to believe. We don't know who's telling the truth and who's lying, so we're just going to send everybody home. But in Eid Zomim case, what do we say? So there's two ways of looking at it. Either we look at it like Abai, who says it's obvious that the first group was actually lying, because when the other two Eidim come and testify and say Imanu Ayitem, they're not canceling out the testimony and saying, we think it was somebody else who did the act. What they're saying is there are two Eidim that come and are testifying about the Eidim themselves. And the first group of Eidim is testifying about the Baal Din. But the second group of Eidim is testifying against the first group. Now, any two witnesses who come and say something, we believe them. If they came and said they were gazlanim, they had stolen, we believe them. So just like we believe them to say they're gazlanim, they had stolen, and therefore they're psulim liot Eidim, the same way we can also say we're going to believe them when they say Imanu Ayitem. That's Abai. Comes Rava, and Rava says, "My chazit desamachahane." Who says... It's like those classic jokes. Someone's lying and someone's telling the truth, and who's the liar, who's telling the truth. We don't really know who's lying and who's telling the truth. But the Torah taught us that this is how we determine that if two witnesses come and say Imanu Ayitem, we're going to believe them and knock out the first group. But really, We don't know for sure that that's the objective truth. We're not really sure that the second should be believed more than the first. But that's what the Torah told us. So therefore, it's a chidushu. And since it's a chidush, and we're not really sure who's telling the truth, from when do the Edim become rasha'im? From the time they're convicted and not from the time they actually testified. Okay, and therefore he says, "En l'chabo ela mishat chidusho ve'elach." Only from the time of the chidush. That's the first reading of Rava. The second reading is, Ika da'amre, Rava nami kabai esfirale. Rava really does hold like Abai. So he believes like Abai, which it's not a chidush, but really, it's clear the first guys are liars, and we believe the second testimony to cancel the first. But, so then we have to explain, Umaitama ka'amar mikanu l'haba. So why do they cancel it only going from March forward and not from January? Mishum pseida delekuchot. What are we worried about? That there'll be a monetary loss for anybody who purchased property based on their testimony. In other words, once they're edim zomimim in court, then everybody knows they're liars. And if anybody uses them as edim, well, it's their fault. They should have checked into things. But if in February, before these guys were convicted, someone went and used them as edim for their property to buy something, we're going to basically say that the edut is no good. It wasn't their fault. They had no idea that these guys were rishayim. So because of the issue of pseidah delekuchot, we're going to say that they're only disqualified going forward and not going backwards. And now we're going to have a mai benayu. What's the difference between the first reading of Rava and the second reading of Rava? Ika benayu, da'asidu beitre b'chad. One option is to say if two witnesses came and testified about one of the edim, and then two witnesses came and testified about the other aid, then what would we say in that, or even just one of them? It wouldn't even have to be they would knock out both. Let's say they would only knock out one of the edim. Then in that case, it's not two against two. In other words, when it's two against two, we say we don't know who to believe. But when it's two against one, the two come and say, well, imanu hayita, right? You were with us. Then we can say, well, two overpowers one for sure in any court of Jewish law. And therefore, we're going to say that we can postulate it retroactively. But pseida de lekucha would still be an issue. And inami, second option, de paslinu begazlanuta. Let's say two witnesses came forward and said, this guy's a gazlan, or both of them are gazlanim. In that case, we're going to believe those two. It's only when they say imanu ayitem that we're going to say, well, we don't really know who's telling the truth and who's lying. So if they pass lanuta because lanuta, then we'll say again, if we're worried about pseida de lekuchot, then we're still worried about pseida de lekuchot. And then we'd say only from the future. But if it's an issue of how do we know who to believe, well, pass lanuta because lanuta, they'll clearly accept that. And then we can pass them retroactively. So we have, on the one hand, Rav Papi held like Rava, but Mar Bar of Ashi said, no, the halacha is like Abaye. And now the Gemara tells us that, by the way, the halacha is like Abaye in these six cases. So let's review them again. Yeush Shalomidad is the Yud, right? That's if someone has Yeush, but we don't know about it. We don't know whether they had Yeush or not. The Ayin is our case. Eid Zomem Lemafreya Hunifsal. Lamed is Lechi Haomem Elav, a Lechi that stands by itself, meaning you didn't put it up. Kuf is Kiddushin Shalonitnu Lebi'a. There was not ra'oi labia, that it couldn't have been consummated. Are they kiddushin or not? Gimel is giloi da beget, which is if you imply that you're going to cancel the get, but you don't actually say I'm canceling the get, but you do some act which seems to indicate that. Do we allow that or not? And mem is going to be our next case. So hold off with the mem. We're going to see it right now. Mumar ochel nevelot l'teavon. So it's a new sugya, but since they were talking about the first case, they bring up this one, and it's connected also with edut and acceptable edut or not. Let's say someone is a A mumar is someone who goes against the Torah. So he goes against the Torah in what way? He's ochel nevelat le'tavon. He eats non-kosher meat because he's hungry. Okay, what does it mean because he's hungry? It means he has desires to eat kosher meat. To eat non-kosher meat. He goes after his desires. And also it seems to be that the issue is also, as we most of us know, kosher meat often costs more money. So it's cheaper to buy non-kosher meat. So he goes for the cheaper option, which shows that money's an issue for him. And he doesn't really have such a care for halacha. So therefore, since we talked about already with Eidut, what's the issue generally? It's the issue of money. We're worried that someone's going to take money to testify falsely. So mumar achal nevelot le'tavon divrei kol pasul. Everybody agrees that he's a pasul eid. But if he does it lahachis, he just wants to show, hey, I don't care about religion, but it's not motivated by any financial issue. It's just motivated by he's anti-religious. And he says, I'm doing it lahachis. So Abaye amar pasul. Abaye says he's still pasul. Rava amar kasher. Rava thinks he's kasher. He's not disqualified from being a witness. Now we're going to see why. Abaye amar pasul dehavelei rasha. Rachman amar al tashet rasha ed. Abaye says he's pasul because he's a rasha. Because if he does it lahachis, he's still a rasha. So he might not be always going after his ta'avot and his desires and going after money. But right, the connection, obviously, of desires and money is someone who goes after their desires when it comes to food is also going to be very hungry for money. He'll take money to swear false, to lie falsely. So, v'rachman amar, al tashet rasha eid. Someone who's a rasha can't be an eid. Rava amar, kasher. If you're lahachis, you're kasher lahai. Why? Because rasha dechamas bi'inan. If you remember, the pasuk said, al tashet rasha eid. It said, al tashet eid chayim rasha liyot eid chamas. So they say it's eid de chamas, which means someone who is money hungry. And this guy is not money hungry, he's just anti-religious. There's a difference. So therefore, we're going to say that Rava says he's kasher. Again, we paskin like Abaye in this case, but anyway, at this point, we're just going to see the machloket. So the first, we're going to now have an objection to both Rava and to Abaye. Meitive. First, an objection to Rava's opinion. Al tashet rasha eid. Here's a braita. It says, what are we going to darshan from this pasuk? Al tashet chamas eid. These are two drashot on that pasuk, right? Can't have a rasha eid. You can't have a chamas eid. What are the cases? Elu gazlanim umualim b'shvuot. These are gazlanim and people who swear falsely. My love, echad shvuot shav, echad shvuot mamon. So why do they think it's a question on Rava? Because they assume that shvuot, you know, gazlanim is obviously a money thing. But shvuot, they assume it's both shvuot shav, people who just swear falsely, not for any money reason, and shvuot mamon, people who do swear concerning monetary issues. And then it would prove the shvuot shav, because it says shvuot, what do they assume? Shvuot has to be plural. It can't just be shvuot mamon, it must include something else. And what else can you include? Shvuot shav, which are not mamon issues. So therefore, we're going to assume that it sounds like if you do something wrong, which isn't financially motivated, then you're pasul ha'id. So now what does the Gemara say? No, lo. Idiv idi shvuot mamon. You could say that the plural of shvuot applies to shvuot mamon, just to one type of shvuah. Umay shvuot, and why is it barabim? Shvuot de'alma, because it's talking about shvuot mamon in general. It's saying gazlanim, and those people who are mo'alim b'shvuot in all types of shvuot mamon. Just talking about shvuot in general, oaths. Just saying, but not different types of oaths, just one type of oath, but many times, you know, many oaths. Second contradiction, Meitive, another source that's very similar, but another Tanaitic source, which goes a little differently. Al tashet rasha'ed, this is going to be against Abaye. Al tashet chamas'ed. Elu gazlanim u'melavei ribiyot. These are gazlanim and melavei ribiyot, those who lend on interest. Now, if you're going to say that that's the category of psule edim, then what's it obvious? What becomes obvious from here? That it's only ones that are financially motivated. So therefore, it seems to go against Abaye. And in fact, the Gemara says, tiyuvta da Abaye, tiyuvta. This is difficult for Abaye, and it's a good, you know, knockout to Abaye shita. Which is very strange, because in the end, we paskin like Abaye, even though this braita knocks out Abaye's shita. Okay, but we'll see. First of all, it's strange that the Gemara ends with the Tiyuvta, because you could say that, yes, it's true, that Braita knocks out Abaye, and that is true. However, we had the other Braita, which we could explain is working with Abaye. So, and I assume that's why in the end, we're going to see soon also why the Gemara is going to actually say, how do we paskin like Abaye in this case if we knocked out his Shita? Okay, but before we get to that, the Gemara is going to now suggest Nema Kitanai. Why don't we suggest that the machlok at Abaye Rava about Mumar Ochel Nevelot Lahachis, whether it's Pasul or Kasher, is parallel, is based on a machlok at Tanaim, is the same machlok at the two Tanaim are having, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. What's the machlok at? Eid Zomem Pasul L'chol HaTorah Kula Devei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that if somebody, we're going to see this is somewhat different, what they're going to say is the logic of both are the same. So hold off in connecting them yet. Let's just understand the machlok at first. Eid Zomein Pasul L'Kol HaTorah Kula Devei Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, anyone who's an Eid Zomein, if you lie about any sort of case, you're going to be Pasul to be an Eid. Okay? You can't be accepted as an Eid once you lied. About, doesn't matter whether it's Dine Mamono, Dine Nefasha. Obviously, Dine Nefasha, we know already from the beginning of the Masechet, are more severe than Dine Mamono, and anyway, logic would state as such. So if somebody lies about a Mamono case, he's going to be, he's not going to be accepted even for an Afasho case, okay? Even though, right, you might say, well, someone might lie about Mamono, but he's not going to lie about getting someone convicted of killing. But Rabbi Meir says, no, once he lies, he's a liar, and we're going to not accept him at all. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bamed Varim Amurim, Keshu Huzam B'dinei Nefashot. If you lied about Dinei Nefashot, then we're going to assume across the board, right, if you lie about something so severe, obviously in something less severe, we're going to assume you would also lie. Aval huzam b'dinei mamonot, but if you became an edzomem, if you were convicted of lying in a dinei mamonot case, in a monetary case, then you'd be kasher l'dinei nefashot. Then we would accept your testimony in dinei nefashot. So now, what's the connection to our machloket? Neima Abaye k'Rabbi Meir v'Rava k'Rabbi Yossi. How do we say this? Abaye k'Rabbi Meir. Abaye matches Rabbi Meir. Why? Da'amar amrina mikula l'chumra. Because both of them are saying that if someone does something that's less severe, like, for example, mumar ochel nevelot lahachis, which, according to this, is less severe because it's less likely that we would make the jump that you're going to lie, you're going to take money to lie falsely in court. Likewise, right, but yet Abaye says you're puzzle anyway. And that's what Rabbi Meir says. Even if you lie in a dinei mamono case, we're going to assume you would also lie in a more severe case. Okay, so that's what we're going to say. Amrina mikula lechumra. Right, we would go in the direction of a kula and say if someone does something in a less severe case, we're going to assume he'd be willing to do it in a more severe case. For Rava da'amar k'Rabbi Yossi. Rava would hold like Rabbi Yossi da'amar, mi'chumra l'kula amrinan, but mi'kula l'chumra lo amrinan. Right, we only say if someone does something more severe, then it's likely he would do the less severe also. But if he does something kal, like lion dine mamanot, or eat nevelot lahachis, which they're viewing as more kal, then we're not necessarily assuming that he's going to lie falsely in court, and that's why he's kasher according to Rava. And according to Rabbi Yossi, right, you have to remember, these aren't the exact parallel cases, it's just the same logic, that we're going to go mikula l'chumra, that if he lie, that if he's an eid zomem for mamon, then we're going to assume, in a dine mamono case, in a monetary case, that we're going to assume that he also might lie in a capital crime case. So that's the first Gemara suggestion. But now the Gemara says, lo. No, this is not actually, in fact, the same machloket. Aliba de Rabbi Yossi kule amalo pligi. Nobody agrees with Rabbi Yossi here. Nobody goes according to Shita. Both Abaye and Rava. Their whole machloket is only seen through the prism of Rabbi Meir. Both of them hold like Rabbi Meir, and yet they still argue about the aids, about the mumar ochel nevelot lahachis. So kule amalo pligi ki pliga, right, aliba de Rabbi Yossi kule amalo pligi, ki pligi aliba de Rabbi Meir. Their machloket is purely based on Rabbi Meir's approach. Abaye ki Rabbi Meir. So Abaye very simply holds like Rabbi Meir. If he's going to eid zomein pasul l'chol HaTorah, kula, then a mumar ochel nevelot lahachis is also going to be pasul l'haid. Rava is going to say like this. Ag kan lo ka'ama Rabbi Meir hatam el gabe eid zomein de mamon. Dira la shamayim, dira la briot. Now we're going to see, according to the Gemara, why a mumar ochal nevelot lahachis is not as bad as someone who lies falsely in a dine mamono case. Because what are we going to say here? Eid zomeim de mamon is ra la shamayim and ra la briot. When it comes to an eid zomeim, when Rabbi Meir says an eid zomeim is pasul chol haTorah kula, meaning if you lied in a monetary case, you're going to be pasul even for a dine nefasho case, is because, what do we say? When you lied in a dine mamono case, you did something ra la shamayim, bad against God, because you lied in court, and ra la briot, because you caused someone to pay money that they weren't supposed to pay. You lied about some monetary case. Aval hacha, but in mumar achal nevelot lahachis, what have you done? Just de ra la shamayim, ve'ein ra la briot. You've only done bad against God. You haven't done bad against a fellow man. And therefore, lo, we're going to say that in that case, Rabbi Meir wouldn't agree. Rabbi Meir would say, since you were only ra la shamayim and you weren't ra la briot, you weren't being unfair to any other human beings, therefore, lo, we are not going to disqualify you. So now we say, Abai and Rava are not arguing about the same thing that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir were arguing about, but they both can, you can read their arguments both into Rabbi Meir. And now the Gemara says, V'hilchata kavatei de Abai. And in fact, we paskan like Abai. So now the Gemara says, V'hai totav. How can we paskan like Abai if we knocked him out before with that braita? So what do we say? Don't let that braita bother you. Hayi Rabbi Yossi hi. That braita goes only according to Rabbi Yossi. Remember, Rabbi Yossi said, Mikula l'chumra amrina. We don't say Mikula l'chumra. So that case was a case where we said only someone we said it's only people who are money hungry, right? And therefore, we're only worried about people like that. But we're not worried about people who would do other avero, like a mumar ochel nevelot lahachis. So Abai says, don't worry, that's Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, remember, Eid Zomeim Lamamon is kasher for nefashot, right? He can testify about a nefashot case because we don't say Mikula l'chumra. Then they say, but wait a minute. If you're going to say that bright is Rabbi Yossi and it doesn't match Abai, and that's how we can say, oh, well, we didn't knock Abai out because we could just put that bright aside and say it's Rabbi Yossi. But now they're going to say, how can we put that bright aside and say, oh, it's Rabbi Yossi and be very flippant about it? Because to Havinami, we could continually ask, we can continue to ask and say, Ritavinami Rabbi Yossi, if we say it's in fact Rabbi Yossi, like we just said, Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yossi, halachaka Rabbi Yossi, we have a general principle that anytime Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi are arguing with each other, we always paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So even if we say, oh, well, that's Rabbi Yossi, you can't be so flippant about it because we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in the machloka between him and Rabbi Meir. So how could you possibly say that we paskin like Abaye who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi? So now the Gemara says, while it's true we have a principle, right? There's like all rules are meant to be broken. So while it's true we have a principle that when there's a machloka, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that's only if shane hatam distam lan tanaka Rabbi Meir. In this case, it's different. It's an exception to the rule because there's a stam mishnah like Rabbi Meir. That means that if there's a mishnah that's unattributed and there's no machloket about it, it's stated as if it's just a plain mishnah with nobody's name, we're going to assume that we paskin that way. And in this case, we have a stam mishnah that follows Rabbi Meir's shita. And therefore, we know when we have a stam mishnah without any machloket, we always paskin that way. So even though Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, halachaka Rabbi Yossi, not if there's a stam mishnah that follows Rabbi Meir. So that's very nice they say that. But now the Gemara is going to have to figure out, hecha stamlan, where is this stamlan mishnah that we're discussing? So now they tell a story. And from the story, they're going to suggest a possible mishnah. And then they're going to, by the end of the story, they're going to come up with, oh no, it's not that mishnah, it's a different mishnah. Gihad de Barchama, Katal Nafshe. There was a guy whose name was Barchama. He killed somebody. Amale Reshkaluta Labaye. Le Rav Abba Bar Yaakov. Reshkaluta says to Rav Abba Bar Yaakov, Puk Ayemba, go check into the matter. Ivadai Katal, if really he killed, Lichuya Leene, knock out his eyes, we're going to blind him. Okay, which really means, right, some people say, Rashi says this is really literal. Some people say what it means is you should give him lashes, like an indefinite number of lashes even. Some people say he should be fined, which would like you know, take away his spirit. Some people think this actually, the Meiri says this actually means he should be executed. It's a different word for execution. Either which way, it means convict him, right? If he for sure killed, then convict him. Atu tres saadeh, so two witnesses came. Asidu be devada kata, so two witnesses come and say he killed the person. So this should be good, right? We can convict him. But azal ihu, but he himself went, aite tres saadeh, and he brought in two of his own witnesses. Hasidu be bechab mehanach. These two witnesses testified about one of the two witnesses that said that Bar Chama killed. So Bar Chama brought two witnesses who now are going to testify against the guy, right, against one of the witnesses who testified against him. Chadamar, one of them said, Kamai didi ganav kava dechushla. In front of me, he stole a kav of barley. V'chadamar, kamai didi ganav kata debortia. And another said that he stole, and as I saw him steal, a handle of a spear. So now, while it's true each one is testifying something different about him, but both of them are saying that he's a robber. So you basically have two witnesses saying he's a robber. Now, if someone's a robber, then what do we say? They're chashud b'dinei mamonot, right? But you wouldn't think that they be chashud b'dinei nefashot. Because if they're chashud in a dine mamono case, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be chashud in a dine nefasho case, right? That was according to Rabbi Yossi. But Rabbi Meir says, no, any eidzomeim, if he's, right, or in this case it would be similar to that, he's a robber, would be pasul l'chol Torah kula. Okay? So now, what happened in the case? So if, do you see how if what they conclude is going to basically show whether we hold like Rabbi Meir and say, if they accept these witnesses to knock out the other witnesses, then what are we going to knock out the witness, right? Then we're going to say, because he's chashud for that, he's chashud even for dine nefashot, and that's going to be Rabbi Meir. If we don't accept them, we're going to say it's Rabbi Yossi. So now, Bar Chama brought these witnesses, and Rav Abba Bar Yaakov, who was dealing with the case, says to him, Amar lei, my datech, Rabbi Meir, who are you holding like, Rabbi Meir? If you want to hold like Rabbi Meir and say, well, if these guys testified, right, this witness is a robber, then basically, and he can't testify about Dine Nefasho case, then you must be holding like Rabbi Meir. And comes Rav Abba Bar Yaakov and says to him, but Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, alachaka Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, you think we hold like Rabbi Meir? We obviously hold like Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi, ha'amar, who's am b'dinei mamonot, kasher l'dinei nefashot. Didn't Rabbi Yossi say that if you're puzzle for a dinei mamonot case, right, it doesn't mean you're going to be puzzle for a dinei nefashot case. So amar le Rav Pape, you have to realize these cases are a little bit different because to say who's am b'dinei mamonot is not exactly the same as saying that you lied in a dine mamono case. So they're comparing things that are not perfectly, right? There's a bit of a problem with the sugi here, because what they're saying, in any case, they're going to reject this whole line of thinking of comparison. But at this point, they have a different way of rejecting it, but I want to point out that there's another difficulty here, which is that the cases aren't exactly parallel. To say eid zomeim in a dine mamono case is also pasul for a dine nefesho case is not the same as saying that a robber is pasul in any case, because we generally say the gazlanim are psulei edut, and we don't distinguish between whether we're going to say they're only psulei edut in a dine mamono case. So there's a bit of a problem with the comparison here. But anyway, the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Papi. Rav Papi then comes in and says to him, Hani mile, hecha delo stamtana lantana karabi meir. As he says to Rav Abba, Bar Yaakov, what do you mean? That's only when there's lo stam lantana karabi meir, but hacha stam lantana karabi meir. But in this case, we paskin like Rabbi Meir because there's a Mishnah like Rabbi Meir. Actually, I'm wrong. They don't actually reject this. We're going to reject the next part. But they actually accept this, and that's why I'm going to just raise that there's a bit of a problem here because it's not exactly the same kind of comparison. Anyway, now what do they say? So Rav Papi basically says, this stam la Mishnah karabi meir, which is exactly what our sukkah says. But again, we're trying to figure out where. So now they quoted this whole story because they're going to now explain, through the story, it's going to be explained, mimai. In other words, what's the Mishnah that Rav Papi was talking about? Ile ma mehadit nan, maybe it's from this Mishnah, but they're going to reject this. If you want to say it's from this Mishnah, which Mishnah? It's a Mishnah Nida. Kol ra'oi ladun dinei nefashot, ra'oi ladun dinei mamonot. Anyone who can test, who can judge, and again, it's not exactly the same, but it's judge a dinei nefashot case, is ra'oi to judge a dinei mamonot case. Mane, so now who is this go according to? Ilema Rabbi Yossi, he... If you're going to say this is Rabbi Yossi, so now they're going to compare and say ladun would be the same as lahaid. So they're going to say you could have someone who's ra'oi ladun dinei nefashot and is not ra'oi ladun dinei mamonot, right? What would it be according to Rabbi Yossi? Ha'ika etzomim de mamon. Dekasha lenefashot upasol ladinei mamonot. You'd have someone who can't testify in a dinei mamonot case, but can testify in a dinei nefashot case. And therefore, elalav, Rabbi Meir, he, so it must be, it's Rabbi Meir. But now the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood this Mishnah. Mimai, why do you assume that this is what the Mishnah was talking about? This Mishnah wasn't talking about people who are pasul because they lied. This Mishnah is talking about people who are pasul because they don't have the right yichus. Okay, what does this mean? Converts and mamzerim are not allowed to be dayanim. Okay, now this is why also they're comparing it to edud, but it's really the nosei is dayanut. And they're going to say that what this Mishnah could very well be talking about is psula yuchsin, in which case this Mishnah has absolutely nothing to do with people who lie and the concerns of lying. It's a separate issue, which is that there's certain people who are pasul because of their yuchus. Okay, here's one of those, another complicated sugya about your family lineage is going to determine whether or not you could be a judge. We have these higher standards when it comes to judges, and it has to do with your yuchus. How do they know? How are they going to support the fact that they assume this is talking about psula yuchsin, in which case you can't say this can prove that there's a stam mishnah like Rabbi Meir, because it has nothing to do with the machloka Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi. De'ilote mahachi, because if you don't say it's about psula yuchsin, then the rest of this mishnah makes no sense, because what's the rest of the mishnah? Seifa dekatani, in the seifa it says, yesh ra'oi, then the continuation of the mishnah is like this. Yesh ra'ui ladun dinei mamonot, ve'ein ra'ui ladun dinei nefashot. There are those who can judge dinei mamonot, but can't judge dinei nefashot. Amayeno ra'ui, why would he not be ra'ui? Because if you're itzam b'dinei nefashot, if you're not ra'ui ladinei nefashot, for sure you're not going to be ra'ui ladinei mamonot, right? De itzam b'dinei nefashot, we already said that's the chamor case. Then for sure we'd assume if you lie in a dinei nefashot case, then for sure we're going to assume you would lie in a dinei mamonot case. And then this line wouldn't make any sense. That there are those who can judge dinei mamonot but can't judge dinei nefashot. That makes no sense to say if you're talking about that he was lying. Because if you lie in dinei nefashot, then obviously you'll lie in dinei mamonot. Dizam dinei nefashot, ro'oi ladun dinei mamonot. Ro'oi ladun dinei mamonot, what, you're going to allow him to judge a dinei mamonot case? Va'adibar al-kol pasulu, everybody agrees it's pasul. It's not even a machloket. Ella bipsul yuchsinkai. So it must be a time about psul yuchsin and hachanami bipsul yuchsinkai. And then what are we going to say here? What does it mean? That when it comes to psula yuchsin, there's a difference between the yichus that we demand for a dine nefasha. There's a higher level of yichus that we demand for dine nefasha than we demand for dine mamonot. And therefore, it's clear that this Mishnah has to do with yuchsin and not with psule, you know, when it comes to psulim of people who lied. Ella, so now we're still trying to figure out, remember, we're in the middle of the Bar Chama story, and they're having a discussion about what's the Stam, right? Rav Papi said to Rav Abba, there's really a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, so now they're going to try another Mishnah, and here they're going to succeed. Ella hacha kastam lantana, this is where there's a Stam Mishnah. Ditnan, it's a Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, which is very much like our Mishnah. Elu hena psulim, these are people who are pasul ha'id. Hamisachek b'kubia, someone who gambles. Milavei b'ribi, those who lend on interest. Mafrichei yonim, those who do the pigeon flying, which we saw different opinions about what it is. V'sochare shvi'it, right, those who sell shmita produce. V'ha'avadim, and avadim knanim, okay, Canaanite slaves are also pasul. Here comes the key line. Zeha klal, this is the klal about these kind of people. Kol edut she'ena ishak sherala, afhein eng sherin la. Any testimony that a woman herself cannot be kasher for, afhein eng sherin la. If we don't accept a woman's testimony, because women are not acceptable witnesses in court, unless, if you remember that we saw there were some exceptions, like for example, if is to testify that someone died so that a woman can get remarried. Say that her husband's dead, so we allow a woman's testimony there. But generally, we don't accept a woman's testimony. So any case where we're not going to accept a woman's testimony in a classic case of dinim amanot, dinim nefashot, apein ein kshirin la, all these other psulei edut are also not going to be accepted there. And it's implied that if the woman's testimony, in cases where we do accept women's testimony, we would accept these people's testimony also. So now they're going to say, Mane, who does this Mishnah go according to? Elim or Rabbi Yossi, Vaha'ika, if we want to say it's Rabbi Yossi, Vaha'ika, Eidut B'dine Nefashot, She'ena Ishak Sherala, Vaheng Sherinla. If you're going to say, again, this is where I said the comparison was a little strange, but the Gemara seems to assume that this is the case. That if you say an Eidzomeim Lamamon, you also mean anyone who would take money to do something like steal or gamble or all these things that they're chashud about monetary issues. We're only going to disqualify them for monetary cases, and we're not going to disqualify them for dinei nefashot. And what did this Mishnah say? That any Eidut that Enak Ishak Sherala, which would include dinei nefashot, all these people can't testify. So ha'ika eidut b'dinei nefashot she'ena ishak sheirala, a woman can't testify b'dinei nefashot, but all these eidim heim k'sherin la, they would all be kasher to testify about dinei nefashot, because we don't suspect just because someone will steal, take money for something that, or would steal, that they would lie and convict someone of death penalty. That's already, we're not going to go that far, and therefore Elalav Rabbi Meir. This must be that this Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, who holds that anyone who's suspect of financial misdoing is going to be pasul l'chol atarakula, just like he says Eidzomeim, right? Any Eidzomeim, even for a moment, is going to be pasul, even in a din in a fashion case. And therefore, comes Rav Papi and he tells Rav Abba, he says, we can accept if this guy is a gazlan, we knock out his testimony even in a din in a fashion case. And therefore, Barchama brought these witnesses, and good for him, because now he's not going to be convicted. Kam Barchama, what was Barchama's reaction? Nashke akare, he kisses Rapapi's feet, okay, because he's so thrilled that he basically saved his life. Vikable lecharge dechule shne, and he agreed to pay his taxes for the rest of his life. Okay, he said, I will, right, that's my gift to you. Okay. Obviously, you have a bit of a problem here about how could Rav Papi have accepted this gift, because it's kind of like receiving a bribe. So the Rama gives an answer that he says that Rav Papi wasn't actually the judge. He was just in the court, and he went to support him, but he wasn't the judge, and that's why he was allowed to take the present. Otherwise, right, we've seen these issues that judges really can't take any sort of gifts. It's going to be perceived as bribery. Okay, we are now starting a very complicated sugya. Those who started in learned Yavama with us, you'll remember all the relationships and the complications with it, and you'll see that even the Gemara, people were struggling with how to understand this. So we're now going to learn who are Pasul because they are relatives. Okay, I'll put some charts online. What I did, I taught this many years ago in high school, and I thought the best way to learn this, the relationships, was to take characters that are known to us, like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and their children, and through that, try to get to the relationships, okay? I'll put it up online today. You can follow along. I'm not going to go through with the names today, but maybe as we get to more complicated sugyas, we'll go through with names of people that we know from the Torah. Okay, Elu Hena Krovin. So I'll post it today, and people can use it all throughout the next few dapim. Elu Hena Krovin. These are people who are Krovim, that are Pasulai. We're going to learn when we get to the Gemara that there were different versions of this. In other words, our Mishnah is telling us one version, but even within our Mishnah, there's going to be different versions. And the Gemara is going to bring up that in the time of the Tanaim, there were even other versions. Elohena Krovim. Who is Pasul? Who's disqualified? Because they're relatives. Achiv, someone's brother. Achi Aviv, his uncle, through his father, his paternal uncle. Achi Imo, his maternal uncle. Ubal Achoto, the wife of his sister, okay, who's his brother-in-law through his sister. Ubal Achot Aviv, okay, the husband of his, your uncle through your father's sister. Okay, your father's sister marries someone, that's your uncle, through marriage. Ubal achot imo, and the same thing from his mother's side. In other words, his father's sister's husband, right? His uncle from his father's side who married his aunt. And the same thing on the other side, meaning his mother's sister who marries a guy, right? So the uncle through marriage. Ubal imo, the husband of his mother, in other words, his mother remarries, second marriage. Vichamiv, his father-in-law. Vigiso, his brother-in-law. Now, we already had the brother-in-law, but the first brother-in-law we had was the one who married his sister. Now we're going to have his wife's brother. Okay? Now, not only are all these people pasul ha'id against you, and you can't testify for them, but heim ubnehem v'chotnehem. It's not just them, but it goes another generation. In other words, it's not just all these people, but it's them, their son, and their sons-in-law. All these people that we mentioned, which are nine, okay, achiv, achi aviv, achi imo, baal achoto, baal achot aviv, that's five, baal achot imo, baal imo, chamiv, vigiso, that's nine. All these people, there's nine avot, you would call them, and then there's also their sons and their sons-in-law. V'chorgo levado. And then we have one who's an exception to the rule. He's pasul, which is his stepson. Okay, which is his wife's son from a different marriage, his stepson. But just the stepson is pasul, but not any of his children or his sons-in-law. Okay, the chorgos sons-in-law are not forbidden to him, and not the chorgos sons. That's the first opinion. Amar Rabbi Yossi, zo mishnat Rabbi Akiva. This Mishnah Rabbi Yossi says is Rabbi Akiva's version. Aval Mishnah Rishona, but before him there was a different approach, which is Dodo Uben Dodo V'chola Ra'oi L'Yosho. There's a few different ways to read this, but I'm going to read it in this way, which is his uncle, his cousin, and anyone who inherits, meaning nobody who goes through the mother. If you notice, Rabbi Akiva had the mother's sister and the mother's sister's husband, and right, and the sister and the guy's sister's husband. But since those people are not Ra'oi L'Yosho, right, a husband doesn't pass his inheritance on to his mother or to his sisters, right, going back to Bava Batra. Therefore, according to the first Mishnah, the original Mishnah, it only included those who can inherit from him. Okay, now why is that? Okay, so there's a bunch of reasons given. The main one would be because those who inherit, right, obviously, what's the issue then? Because if you can inherit, then there's a conflict of interest, because if you can inherit from them, you obviously want them to have more money so that you can inherit from them when they die. That's one reason. Another is we're going to see that the derivation of the pasuk is about avodim banim, and because of that, we're going to assume it only goes through the father and not the mother. And another one interesting explanation that the Ramah suggests, this is the Ramah with a hey, not the Ramah with an aleph, who comments on the. There's a commentary on Sanhedrin called the Yad Ramah. It's written by the Ramah, Sephardi posek from the sort of middle to the end of the Rishonim time period. And he suggests that your family is really only from your father's side and not from your mother's side. Okay? Anyway, what do we say now? So according to him, it's just the paternal relatives. V'chola karov lo ba'otasha. And anyone who's related to, now this seems to be not necessarily only Rabbi Akiva, this not only the Mishnah Rishona, but this seems to be a continuation of the Mishnah. Anyone who's karov lo ba'ota sha'ah, all these people are only if they're related to you at the time. Aval haya karov nitrachek hareza kasher. What if your sister married someone and then she got divorced? So at that point, right, when she was married, so your brother-in-law is your relative, but once she gets divorced, then he's no longer your relative anymore, and he could testify for you after that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu meta bito v'yesh lo banim mimena hareze karov. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees a little bit and says, though, if, let's say, the person's daughter died, this is another case where you're no longer related. Let's say the daughter dies. So let's say, you have your daughter. Let's say it's a guy and his son-in-law. So the son-in-law is related to him, but as soon as the daughter dies, they're no longer related because the son-in-law is not married to her anymore. But Rabbi Yehuda says, now, if your daughter dies and you have children, as if you and the son-in-law have grandchildren in common, then you're considered still related. Hareza Karov. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Ha'ohev v'hasone. Now we're going to talk about other people who are considered krovim. Someone who is very close to you and someone who is very distant from you, right? Hates you. Ohev zesh shushbino. This is your usher, okay, your wedding, who's your shushbinim, right, for the week. Sone, kol shelo diber imo shlosha yamim be'eva. Someone who refuses to talk to you for 3 days. Amru lo, lo nichshedu Yisrael akach. This was Rabbi Yehuda, and the rabbi said to him, what do you mean? To that extent, people don't go. People don't lie for people that they hate or love in court. No, maybe for their relatives, but not someone who's just their good friend. Okay, minan emile. What's the source for these halachas? Ditana Rabbanan. We're now going to darshan this one pasuk in many different ways. Okay, first of all, note that in the Mishnah, there's one basic case that's missing, which is, if you notice, it starts with brother and goes to uncle. It never talks about father and son. Now, the source is about a father and son, and the assumption is that it's so obvious that they didn't need to say it. Menan emile, detana rabbanan, lo yum tu avot al banim. So there's a pasuk that says, lo yum tu avot al banim, ubanim lo yum tu al avot. Right? Fathers won't die for their sons, and sons won't die for their fathers. Right? Which we assume means, right, the continuation of the pasuk says, ish bechet o yumatu, right? Everybody dies for their own sins. This seems to have nothing to do with krovim in terms of psulei edut. This sounds like, right, everybody dies for their own sins. So, ma tamud lomar, im lelamed shon lo yumtu avot ba'avon banim, ubanim ba'avon avot. If it's coming to say, lo yumtu avot abanim, ubanim lo yumtu al avotam, ish bechet o yumatu. So, if the pasuk is coming to tell you that fathers won't die for their avirot of their sons, and sons won't die for the sins of their fathers. Harei kvar ne'amar, but the end of that pasuk already says ish b'chato yumatu. So you don't need the beginning of the pasuk to tell you that. If the end of the pasuk says it, they could have just said simply ish b'chato yumatu. Ela lo yumtu avot abanim. What does it mean? Therefore, beidut banim. It means that fathers can't die from their sons testifying against them. Ubanim lo yumtu al avot beidut avot, and sons can't die for their fathers testifying about them. So now, okay, so that's the source. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute. That pasuk itself is questionable. There's a problem with this pasuk. Ubanim ba'avon avot lo, v'haktiv. There's another pasuk which totally contradicts this pasuk. And now we're off of krovim. We're back to this, the pshat of ish b'chado yumatu. V'haktiv, poked avon avot al banim. It says, right, we know, poked avon avot al banim, that the children do get punished for their father's sins. So what's the Gemara's answer? This is a big philosophical issue. Hatam kishochzim asevotehem biyadehem. Right? How could you say sons can die for their father's haferot? What do you mean? What did they do wrong? So they answer, when they continue in the way of their fathers, then they get punished. Then they get killed also for their father's sins. Kiditanya. Here's a brayta that supports this. Va'af ba'avonot avotam itam yimaku. This is a pasuk from Vayikra. Right, that they're going to get killed for their father's aveirot. They will also get punished for them. Kishochzim aseavotam biyadehem. Right, so the Braita says it's only when they go in the way of their fathers. Now the Braita questions this assumption. Ataomer kishochzim oenu elek sheenochzim. Yes, you're saying it's when they continue in the way of their father, but maybe it's not. So then say, kishuomer ish bechato yumatu harek shochzim aseavotam avotehem biyadehem. Okay, so now they say, The combination of these two psukim, which seems to contradict each other, must work together. And they won't die if they go in their own, right? If they don't continue in the way of their fathers. But they will die if they continue in the way of their fathers. Right. Okay. So, ishbachado yumatu, you'll only die for your own sins. That's kishochzi maseye de avotehem biyedehem. But if you... Right, I'm sorry, it's not that it contradicts, it's that you will only die for your own sins, right? If you continue and go in the way of the sins, that's, and it's, the since it says, ish b'chato yumatu, that you can only die for your own sins, so therefore we can only understand, avonot avotam itam yimaku, is only if you sin also. So then the Gemara says, what do you mean? Velo? Is it really true though? V'haktiv, v'chashlu ish b'achiv. Forget about fathers dying, sons dying for their father's sins. There's a pasuk that says, everybody can get stumbled because of a friend, even. In other words, you can get punished for something your friend does. Ish b'avon achiv. Right? It sounds like even you can get punish for someone your brother does, right? Achiv here means fellow Jew. This teaches that we're all responsible for each other, which means you actually can get punished for other people's sins. So now what do they answer? You can only get punished for other people's aveirot, the kashlulish b'achiv, that your arevim zebazeh, is when you could have stopped them and you didn't. So that's a separate thing. And we're now kind of resolving all this by saying there's one issue of kol Yisrael arevim zebazeh, and you can actually get punished. That's if you could stop someone from doing something and you don't. You have a responsibility to stop people from doing sins. And then we have the issue with fathers and sons, where we say that if you continue in their ways, then you will get punished also. But you won't die for sins your fathers do if you don't continue in their way. Okay, that's it for today.